CTV.
Think of this. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, our apostle says that you are a temple of God, and the Spirit of God is making its home in you. I want to talk about how unusual this is. It wasn't always this way. Back in the day, the Spirit of God used to come on people and then go off of people. Come on people, go off of people. I'm thinking of King Saul. The Spirit of God would go away from him and he would become agitated. And then David would play his harp and Saul would be better, but the Spirit of God came and went. And before that, God dwelt in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Before that, he walked around the Garden of Eden with Adam. So, God first lived in the garden. Now, this dates from the beginning of humanity. Then he lived in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And he mingled with the people in that way. Actually, he didn't. He was confined. He confined himself. It was a token presence. Obviously, God doesn't literally dwell in a box in the Holy of Holies. But there was a token presence of God in between the cherubim that actually emitted light. The presence of God. And it was a big deal. Israel had the market cornered on God. This is Martin Zenner, by the way. Welcome to MCTV. Israel had the market cornered on God. Once God called Abraham and he began to reveal himself to one people. Because you see, God was known by his creation until that time. God began to reveal himself to Adam, but Adam didn't know anything really. He walked and talked with God, not God himself, but God sent a representative down. It was probably his son. But anyway, some rep. God's son is not the only one who represents him on the earth. Many people represent God. Messengers bring a message from God. Gabriel, Michael, those celestial beings, they would bring a message from God, and at that time, they were the spokesperson of God. Human beings were the spokespeople of God. When the Spirit of God came on them, that was God speaking. So when the temple was built, God condescended to dwell between the wings of the cherubim in the Holy of Holies, the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. And it was called the Shekinah glory, and it was a presence. I mean, there was a light that glowed because there were thick curtains in the Holy of Holies, and no natural light could get in. And so the light in there was supernatural. It was the light of God, and that's where God dwelt. And he only dwelt with one people, Israel. So they had the market cornered. Imagine. Now, what's so special about your nation? Well, God lives with us. We built a house for him. And that's where he lives. I would think that would be quite a tourist attraction. If we thought that God actually lives somewhere, yeah, you want to come in and see the supernatural light? That's the literal presence of God? Yeah, how much? $25. Today only, 2 for the price of 1. Bring the kids, free lollipops, and we'll have a drawing for a washer and dryer. So it was quite a thing to have the presence of God in that temple. And think of how ornate that temple was. I mean, the tabernacle in the wilderness wasn't much to look at. It was collapsible. It was a tent. And that was good enough for the time. But David wanted to build God a permanent house, right? Solomon actually wanted that, so David's son. So Solomon built the temple, and God lived there, a token presence of God. But last week I was talking about the veil of the temple being rent at the death of Christ on the cross. And at that moment, God no longer dwelt in the temple. That bit was over. That's why Paul could say in Acts 17, God does not live in temples built by human hands. I don't think he could have said that in the days when God did dwell in temples made by human hands. Now let's get down to the modern day. Your temple, your body, my temple, my body, was not made by human hands. Do you realize that? It just hit me as I'm saying it. Your body that you live in was not built by human hands. You are occupying a supernatural creation. These bodies are, we think they're natural. I mean, in a way they are, but I consider them supernatural because they were not built by human hands. And then what does God do? Well, let's review. He dwelt in the Garden of Eden. He dwelt in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And then he dwelt in Solomon's temple. And now he dwells inside human beings. The Spirit of God makes its home in you. This is a permanent dwelling. It doesn't come on and go out and come on and go out like it did in the old days. It's an established residence. I say, but Martin, there's so many of us. How can God split himself up? Really? No, you don't want to ask that question, you know. And so the same power that created all things and by which all things consist is inside of you, as real as the Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies. Same Spirit of God. Now, we don't have the fullness of the Spirit of God because we couldn't handle that. Our bodies have to be changed because we can't handle the fullness of the Spirit. We have an earnest, that little light between the wings of the cherubim in the temple, that was an earnest of the fullness of God's Spirit. It was a token. That's what we have. I'm not downgrading it. I'm just saying it's a down payment. It doesn't mean it's not real. No. It's the Spirit of God. It's the same, again, the same power that created everything. And it lives in you. I mean, it doesn't show up on x-rays. You can't go in there with a scalpel and do a, and forceps and do a spiritectomy. It doesn't work like that. No. But it doesn't mean it's not real. Because there are many real things that you can't see. I mean, light, air. Can't see it, but it's real. It consists of something. It's a substance. Air is a substance. This is what keeps airplanes flying. You can't see it. It seems like a miracle that airplanes are up in the air. What's keeping them up there? Air is a substance. The Spirit of God is a substance, I think. I think it is. And, sorry, my back really itches. So, the Spirit of God sustains you. And I told you last week that God won't take away your last shred of faith. You know why that is? Because the Spirit of God makes his home in you. Makes its home in you. Makes its home in you. It's anchored in there. It's permanent. I mean, as long as you're living, it's permanent. And that Spirit of God is the thing that generates faith. So whatever faith you have, that Spirit of God inside of you. Maybe it's a light in there, I don't know. But I know it's real. I'm tempted to say it's not ethereal. I'm tempted to say it's a... Tempted to say that it's somewhat like electricity. It's a power. You can't see it. It's invisible. And what the hell is electricity? What the hell is it? Does anybody know? So this is where the faith comes from. The Spirit of God generates it, and the Spirit of God makes its home. You notice I'm emphasizing the word home. So we, as members of the body of Christ, are now the new dwelling place of God. According to Romans 12:3, God parts to each the measure of faith. So we all have a measure of faith. So I suppose then we all have a measure of the Spirit. But a measure is good enough. It's the guarantee. It's the thing that happened on the day you believed. I mean, in a sense, no, in a very real way, the Spirit of God causes everything to live. So in a sense, every single human being on the earth has the Spirit of God. But the grass grows because of the Spirit of God. But this homing, this is something more. It takes more than the Spirit that's required simply to keep you alive. It takes more than that to believe, to realize the evangel. And that's what the Spirit does. It inspires you. God puts more in there, turns up the volume, amps up the power, and you suddenly believe. This is why you believed in God, because God put His Spirit in you and it makes its home in you. Other people don't have that homing spirit. They're made alive by the Spirit of God, but God had to give Paul some way of expressing believers having something more than those who are not believers, such as Hitler, who are merely existing, even though they're existing by the Spirit of God. Now, Paul's writing this to the Corinthians, one of the most soulish, sinning groups of people that were in the body of Christ at that time. The Corinthians were famous for being immature, for squabbling, for being petty, for being jealous of each other, competing for spiritual gifts. It was a ratty lot there in Corinth. We know the guy that's having sex with his stepmother. We know that there was cult prostitution then, and people thought it was okay. Yeah, we'll just go in and have sex with a cult prostitute. No, God. No. But these are the people to whom Paul says, the Spirit of God, you are a temple of God, and the Spirit of God's making its home in you. I told you Friday that on the surface, life is very tumultuous. And you yourself have your ups and downs. But you don't have ups and downs like King Saul had ups and downs. King Saul had ups and downs because the Spirit of God came and went, came upon him, left him. So the prophets too. The Spirit of God would come on the prophets. And they would prophesy. Then the Spirit of God would check out a little bit, just check out, you know, turn down the volume. Boom, came and went. It's the same Spirit of God that caused the Son of God to be generated inside Miriam, otherwise known as Mary. The angel Gabriel said to her, the Spirit of God shall be overshadowing you. So really didn't go in her, I guess. No, it overshadowed her. So it did come on her. Because see, even then, in those days, when Jesus was just born, this truth of the Spirit of God making its home in you did not apply. Because at that time, when Jesus was born, the temple was still there. It was Herod's temple, but God deigned to dwell there. So at that time, God was still making his home in buildings made by human hands. It was not until that temple veil was rent. And God was homeless. Just think of it. God was homeless at that time. He wants to dwell with his creatures. And we're his special ones. We're the called out ones, the saints. And so this is where God now homes. This is why Paul can say that we're an odor of life for certain people, an odor of death for other people. People that have an ear for the message we speak, and even our presence affects people apart from our consciousness, because the Spirit of God is making its home in you. It's like a generator. It's like having a nuclear reaction going on constantly inside your body that comes out of your body like a corona, like the corona of the sun. I mean, I think everybody has an aura. They've seen it with electromagnetic recordings or whatever, spectrographs, whatever they are, that people have this glow about them. That's just that's your basic human, that's your basic Spirit of God that keeps people alive. Your human body runs on electricity, but the Spirit of God is generating it. But we have more of it. And I have a feeling that no spectrograph can pick it up. But I have a feeling that it really goes out. You've heard me say over the years that we have a sheen of protection. And that sheen of protection is a Spirit of God that I think emanates from us, completely apart from our consciousness. But Paul is telling us that this is how it is. This is the way it is. The Spirit of God is making its home in you. That's a big deal. Again, I say that's the same Spirit of God that created everything, spoke the sun into existence, spoke the first man into existence. Now, I told you that our surface is often ragged. Our lives are ragged. The details of our lives are ragged. Nothing goes perfectly. There's always a termite in the oatmeal. Yeah. I just don't like those cliches. The fly in the soup. You know, there's always a fly in the soup. Is that what they say? I can't stand cliches, so I have to think of something else off the top of my head. So a termite in the oatmeal. Okay? There's an insect in some good food. Always, always, always. But while this is happening, I told you on Friday that there's this rock bottom part of you that is so secure. This is where your joy is. Your happiness is up here, or not. Your happiness comes and goes. Your mood comes and goes. Your depression comes and goes. It all comes and goes. But there's one thing that does not come and go, and that is the Spirit of God making its home in you. It is steady. It's established. It's not going anywhere. Nothing can take it away. And it is the thing that keeps you believing God in spite of everything going on in your life that should cause you to not believe in God. All this shit that's happening to you should, in a normal world, with a normal person, cause you to stop believing in God. But it doesn't. Why? How? Because the Spirit of God is making its home in you. When you go to bed at night, somehow your heart beats on its own. You still breathe. These are involuntary things. Your body's still digesting the food you had for dinner. All this stuff is happening apart from our consciousness. That's the physical realm. But the parallel in the spiritual realm is that something is happening inside of you. Something is working. Something real. I mean, Paul talks about prayer. I think it's in Romans 8. And he said the Spirit groans within us with inarticulate groanings. Of course, there would be inarticulate. You can't hear them because the thing itself, the Spirit of God in us, is invisible. I think. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Probably is, though. So that Spirit of God, this is another real verse, is actually, I should do a whole show on this, is praying. And I think some of the groaning that we do sometimes is inspired by the Spirit of God. I'm not trying to give you an excuse for your groaning. I'm trying to give me an excuse for my groaning. Yeah, so it's all Spirit of God. It's all the Spirit of God. So that's the thing, like the ocean bottom I was telling you. I was using the analogy of the ocean. The water crashes on top. But then when you get down, 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 it's quiet. And there could be a hurricane. Listen to this. There could be a hurricane on the top of the ocean. 30-foot waves, killer waves. But on the bottom, it's dead quiet. It's dead dark. It's settled. It doesn't know anything about the hurricane. So the Spirit of God that's in you doesn't know really anything about these surface disturbances. That's why I don't want you to be disturbed by the surface disturbances, which is what I told you on Friday. Don't want you to be disturbed by that. Because it's an insult to the Spirit of God that makes its home in you. That's what you should be focusing on. The Spirit of God making its home in you could be 0.002% of your total being. But that's where you live. That's where you focus on. And that's where faith comes in. You have faith that it's in there, because Paul says it's in there, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if I have to remind you. Paul said that under the information and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the influence. He was under the influence, Paul was. He was writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit. God wanted us to know this. It was important for us to know this. Why is it important? Because of how easy it is to be swayed by the 99.9998 whatever percent of you that is not the Spirit of God making its home in you. But that crap doesn't matter. The material doesn't matter. Your fluctuating moods doesn't matter. It's part of the human experience. You know what matters? Is the Spirit of God put the Shekinah glory that the priest in Israel once a year used to tremble to approach. Tremble to approach. And he walks into the Holy of Holies, surrounded by thick curtains, and he can see the glow of God. Scary. Scary. But for us, it's not scary. Because, like the title of Friday's show, God is love. And the Spirit of God is making its home in you. Therefore, love is making its home in you. You may think that it's shouted down. You may think that it's squelched by something you're doing. It's alive and well, though. I guarantee you that. It's alive and well. It's only a small percentage at the present time. But I don't think our bodies are changed and then the Spirit of God comes on. I think that the Spirit of God will inhabit us without measure. Suddenly that little token presence will explode. And that's why we're changed. I mean, that's just me talking. I don't think Paul says that, but we've often thought that I'm making a show here, but anyway, that's okay. See, Charles, here he comes again. Charles, come here. Here's the mascot. Oh, come on, Charles. Here's the mascot of the body of Christ right here. He'll do anything to get on a freaking show. Charles, you'll do anything to get on a show, won't you? I'm sorry that you're not in focus. Okay, there. Now you're in focus. Juliana just popped in and brought him over. She came back from Peru today. I'm glad you're the mascot of the body of Christ. Should I put you down now? Are you getting nervous, kid? You've never been this close to the audience. So I think there's an explosion of spirit when the Spirit takes us over completely. That's a good thing. And then our bodies, instead of exploding with, it's like detonating a shell. Let's say you swallowed a hand grenade and the thing explodes inside of you. Boom, your body's destroyed. Likewise, if the Spirit of God came on you in full, your body couldn't contain it. That's why at that instant, your body's changed. It has to change, because if it doesn't change from a mortal to an immortal body, then at the precise moment when God blows into you and the Spirit of God comes on you without measure, at that precise moment, if your body's not changed, you would be detonated. You would be fragments. You would be blown up. No, you would evaporate. It wouldn't even be fragments. You would just be eviscerated. Don't get nervous, kid. What are you chewing on over here? What the hell is chewing on this? What is this, kid? Charles is chewing on a weed of some kind. Here, I'll give it back to you. So, I want you to focus on that part. I want you to focus on that. Because it's more real than anything else going on. You hear what I'm saying? It's the real thing. It's the only thing that matters. I don't care if it's 0.002% more than the common human has. It's something special that you have because you're a believer. If God gives to each a measure of faith, Romans 12:3, then I think it stands the reason that God gives to each a measure of the Spirit. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he had the Spirit without measure. So his body was different. Yeah, something about it. His Spirit without measure, yet he still withstood. His body couldn't die. Remember? So there's something going on there with Jesus' body. He had to give up his life. They couldn't take his life. Nobody could take his life. A heart attack couldn't take his life. Getting hit by a train couldn't have taken his life. Just like Groundhog Day. Bill Murray gets hit by a train, jumps off a bridge. He can't die, right? In Groundhog Day. Right? Jesus Christ had to give up his life. So that helps me. And I hope it helps you.